Well, Maharaj Parikshit heard about this incident of burning into ashes of Kalajavan. He inquired about the sleeping mat from Sukadev Goswami as to who was he and why he was sleeping there and how he achieved so much power that instantly the Kalajavan became burned into ashes by his glance over him, how he happened to be lying down in the cave of the hill. So many questions were put before Sukadev Goswami, and Sukadev Goswami also answered as follows. My dear King, this person was born in a very great family of King Ikhaku, in which Lord Ramchandra was also born, and he happened to be the son of a great king known as Mandata. He himself was also a great soul and was known popularly as Muchukunda. This King Muchukunda was very strictly followers of Vedic principles, respecting the Brahminical culture, and was truthful to his promise. This King Muchukunda was so powerful that even demigods like Indra and others used to ask him to help fighting with the demons. As such, he was fighting with the demons and protecting even the demigods. This means he was very, very powerful so that he could cut down even the demons. The commander-in-chief of the demigods, known as Kartikeya, was very much satisfied with the fighting of King Muchukunda. And once upon a time, he asked the king to retire from fighting and take rest because he had taken too much trouble in fighting with the demons. The commander-in-chief of the demigods, Kartikeya, began to address King Muchukunda and said, my dear king, you have sacrificed everything for the sake of the demigods. You had very nice kingdom, undisturbed any kind of enemy. You left that kingdom, you neglected your opulence and possession, and you never cared for fulfillment of your personal ambition. Due to your long absence from your kingdom in the matter of fighting with the demons on behalf of the demigods, your queen, your children, your relatives, your ministers, all have passed away in due course of time, because time and tide wait for no man. Now, even if you return to your home, you will find nobody is living there. The influence of time is very strong, so all your relatives, sons and others, they have passed away in due course of time. Time is so strong and powerful because it is representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Time is therefore stronger than the strongest, and by the influence of time, changes in the subtle things can be effected without any difficulty. Nobody can check the process of time. As an animal tender tends the animals according to his own will, similarly, the time also adjust things according to its own will. Nobody can supersede the arrangement made by the Supreme Time. Demigod Kartikeya, thus addressing him fully, requested him to ask for any kind of benediction he may be pleased with, accepting the benediction of liberation, because liberation could not be awarded by any living entity except by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, the another name of Lord Vishnu or Krishna is Mukunda, who can award liberation. This king, Mukunda, was not sleeping for many, many years. He was engaged in the duty of fighting, and therefore he was very, very tired. So when he was offered by the demigod to take some benediction, he simply thought of sleeping. So he replied as follows, "My dear, the best of the demigods, I want to sleep now, and I want this benediction from you, that anyone who try to disturb my sleeping and awaken me untimely would be immediately burned into ashes on my looking upon him. Please give me this benediction." The demigod also gave him the benediction in order to take complete rest. And the king Mukunda entered into the cave of the mountain. So on the strength of this benediction, the Kaljavan was burned into ashes simply by glancing over him by Mukunda. And when the incident was over, at that time Krishna came before him. Actually, Krishna entered the cave to deliver the king Mukunda for his austerity, but he did not first appear before him. He pushed on the Kaljavan before his awakening. That is the way of activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does one thing, but by acting such one thing, many other purposes are served. Actually, he wanted to deliver this king, Mukunda, who was sleeping in the cave. At the same time, he wanted to kill this Kalajaman who attacked the Mathura city. So by this action, he served all purposes. When Lord Krishna appeared before Mukunda, the king saw him dressed in yellow collared garments, and his chest marked with the symbol of Srivatsa and Kaustubh Mani. Jewel Kaustubh Mani was hanging on his neck. This time Krishna appeared before him in four hands like Vishnu Murti, and there was a garland which was hanging from his neck down to his knees. Such garland is called Vaijayanti garland. He was looking very lustrous, and his face was usually beautiful and smiling. There were nice jewel earrings in both the ears. On the total, Krishna appeared before him as beautiful as a human being can conceive. Not only he appeared in his beautiful feature, but he was glancing over the Mukunda king with grace, and thus attracting the mind of the king. Although he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the oldest of all, he was looking just a fresh, young boy, and his movement was just like a free deer. Still, he appeared extremely powerful. His influence and power was so much great that every human being should be afraid of him. When King Mukunda saw Lord Krishna in such wonderful feature of his presentation, certainly he became very much doubtful about his identity, and with great humbleness he began to inquire from the Lord as follows. My dear Lord, how it is that you happen to be present within the cave of this mountain? And may I inquire, who are you? I can see that your feet are just like soft lotus flower, and how could you walk in this forest full with thorns and edges? I'm simply surprised to see this. Are you not, therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most powerful amongst the powerful, or are you not the original source of all illumination and fire? Shall I consider you as one of the great demigods, like the sun, the moon, or the Indra, king of heaven, or you may be the predominating deity of any other planet? King Muchukunda knew it very well that every higher planetary system has a predominating deity. He was not ignorant like modern man who simply consider that this earthly planet is full of living entities and all others are vacant. His inquiry from Krishna about his becoming the predominating deity of any other planet unknown to him was quite appropriate. King Muchukunda, because he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he could immediately understand that Lord Krishna, who appeared before him in such opulent feature, could not be any of the predominating deities in the material planet. He must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who has his many Vishnu forms, and he took him as the Purushottam form of Lord Vishnu. He could see also that the dense darkness within the cave of the mountain was already dissipated on account of Lord's presence. Therefore, he could not be other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew it very well that wherever the Lord is personally present, by his transcendental name, quality, form, etc., there cannot be any darkness of ignorance. Exactly like a lamp which present in the darkness immediately makes the place illuminated. King Muchukunda became very much anxious to know about the identity of Lord Krishna, and therefore he said, my dear, the best of the human being, if you think that I am fit to know about your identity, you can kindly let me know who are you, what is your parentage, what is your occupational duty, and what is your family tradition. King Muchukunda, however, thought it wise that first of all, he must give his identification to the Lord. Otherwise, he has no right to ask his identification. The etiquette is that a person of less importance cannot ask of another person of higher importance about his identification without disclosing his own identification. King Muchukunda, therefore, informed Lord Krishna, my dear, the best of the dear, if you think, first of all, I must inform you about my identification, then I can inform you that I belong to the first celebrated dynasty of King Ikkhaku. But personally, I am not as great as my forefathers. My name is Muchukunda. My father's name was Mandata, and my grandfather's name was Juvanasa, the great king. I'm very much fatigued on account of my not resting for many thousands of years. And on account of this, all my limbs of the body have become almost incapable to act in slacken. In order to revive my energy, I was taking rest in this solitary forest. But presently, I have been awakened by some unknown man who has forced me to wake up, although I was not willing to do so. And for this offensive act of the person, he has become burned into ashes simply on my glancing over him. After this incident, fortunately, I can see you in your such grand and beautiful features. I think, therefore, that you are the cause of killing my enemy. My dear Lord, I must admit that due to your effulgence of the body, unbearable to my eyes, I cannot see you properly. I can fully realize that by the influence of your effulgence, my powerful potency has sufficiently been diminished. I can understand that you are quite fit for being worshipped by all living entities. And King Muchukunda was thus very much anxious to know about the identity of Lord Krishna. He began to answer, smiling, as follows. Dear King, it is practically impossible to narrate about the birth, appearance, disappearance, and activities of myself. Perhaps you know that my incarnation, Anantadev, has unlimited mouth, and since time unlimitedly immemorial, Anantadev is trying to narrate about my name, fame, quality, activities, appearance, disappearance, incarnation, for unlimited time. Still, he could not finish it. Therefore, it is not possible to know exactly how many names and forms I possess. It may be possible for a material scientist to count over the atomic particles consisting of this earthly planet. Still, such materialistic scientists cannot enumerate my unlimited names, forms, and activities. There are many great sages and saintly persons who are trying to make a list of my different forms and activities, but still they have failed to make a complete list. But as you are very much anxious to know about me, I may inform you that presently I have appeared on this planet just to annihilate the demonian principles of the people in general and to re-establish the religious principles as they are enacted in the Vedas. For this purpose, I was invited by the superintending deity of this universe, namely Brahma. Thus, I have now appeared in the dynasty of the Jodhus as one of the members of the family. I have specifically taken my birth as the son of Vasudeva in the Jodhu dynasty, and people therefore knows me as Vasudev, or they call me the son of Vasudev. You may also know that Kamsa, who was in his previous life known as Kalnemi, he has been killed by me, as well as many other demons like Prahlambasura, who also acted as enemies for me, are also killed by me. Presently, the Kalajavan, who was present before you, also acted as my enemy, and you have very kindly burned him into ashes by your glance over him. My dear King Mushukunda, you are my great devotee, and just to show you my causeless mercy, I have appeared in this cave. I am very much inclined and affectionate to my devotees, and in your previous life, before this state of condition, you acted as my great devotee and prayed for my causeless mercy. I have therefore come to see you to fulfill your desire. Now you can see me to your heart's content. My dear King, now you can ask from me any benediction that you may desire, and I am prepared to fulfill your desire. It is my eternal principle that anyone who comes under my shelter must have all his desire fulfilled by my grace. When Lord Krishna ordered King Mushukunda to ask benediction from him, at that time he becomes too much engladdened, and he immediately remembered the prediction of Garga Muni, who had foretold long before that on the 28th millennium of Vaivasvata Manu, Lord Krishna would appear on this planet. As soon as he remembered this foretelling, he got to understand that before him, the Supreme Personality Narayan as Lord Krishna was present. Therefore, he immediately fell down on his lotus feet and began to pray as follows. My dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can understand that all living entities on this planet are illusioned by your external energy, and they are very much enamored by the illusory satisfaction of sense gratification. Being fully engaged in such activities, they are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. And because they are unaware of the benefit of surrendering unto your lotus feet, they are subjected to various kinds of miserable condition of material existence. They are foolishly attached to this so-called society, friendship and love, which simply produces different kinds of miserable conditions. Thus being illusioned by your external energy, either man or woman, everyone is attached to this material existence, and all of them are engaged in the business of cheating one another, so that it is nothing but a great society of the cheaters and the cheated. These foolish persons do not know how much fortunately they have obtained this human form of life, and still they are reluctant in the matter of worshipping your lotus feet. By the influence of your external energy, they are simply attached to the glamour of material activities. Thus, they are attached to so-called society, friendship and love, as if an animal has fallen to the dark well without any knowledge. The example of dark well is given here because in the field there are many wells not used for many years, and it has been covered by grass over it, and the poor animals, without knowing that there is a well, they fall down in it and without being delivered, become forced to die within the well. The idea is that the animals, simply being captivated for a few blades of grass, fall in such dark well and die. Similarly, foolish persons in the human form of life, without knowing its importance, simply for the matter of sense gratification, spoil the whole life and after all die unnecessarily, without any useful purpose. My dear Lord Ajit, I am also not an exception to this universal law of material nature. I am also one of those foolish persons who have wasted their time for nothing. On the contrary, my position was still more difficult. Others, on account of my being situated in royal order, I was still more puffed up than ordinary person. An ordinary man thinks of becoming a proprietor of his body, of his family. But I began to think in the same way, but in a larger scale. I wanted to be the master of the whole world. And as I became absorbed in this idea of sense gratification, my bodily concept of life became more and more strong. On account of my bodily concept being very strong, my attachment for home, for wife, for children, for money, and for supremacy over the world became more and more acute, which had no limitation, and I remained always attached to such thoughts of living condition. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have wasted so much valuable time of my life without any benefit. My bodily concept of life being strengthened, I began to think of my this material body, which is just like a pot or a bag, was identified to become the king of the human society. And with this bodily concept of life, I began to travel all over the world, accompanied by my soldiers, charioteers, elephants, horses, all kinds, all four kinds of military strength, assisted by many commander-in-chiefs. And being puffed up in this way, I could not trace out your lordship, who is always sitting within my heart as the most intimate friend. I did not care for you, and this is possible only due to the fault of my exalted material condition of life. I think, like me, all living creatures are careless about spiritual realization and is in full anxiety, always thinking what to do, what is next. On the other side, you are strongly driven by material desire, therefore continue to remain in craziness. But in spite of our being so absorbed in material thoughts, the inevitable time which is representative of your lordship, or the inevitable time is yourself only, is always careful about its duty, and as soon as the time is over, it immediately ends all our activities of material dream. Exactly like the black snake, who is very hungry, can very swiftly swallow up a small rat without any leniency. After this action of the cruel time, the body or the royal body, which was always decorated with gold ornaments during living condition and was moving on the chariot, driven by beautiful horses, or sometimes was moving on the back of the elephant, nicely decorated with golden ornaments, and was being advertised as the chief of the human society, as the king of the human society, the same royal body becomes under the influence of the inevitable time, and being decomposed by its influence, become fit for being eaten up by moths and insects, or turned into ashes or stool of some animal. The idea is that this beautiful body, which may be recognized during living condition as the royal body, after this become eaten by some animal, and therefore turns into stool, or if it is cremated in the burning place, crematorium, it turns into ashes, or if it is put into the earthly grave, different kinds of moths and insects are produced out of it. My dear Lord, it is not that only after death we become under the full control of the inevitable time, but also while living we are controlled by the same time in a different way. For example, as we are very powerful kings, but still, after conquering over the world, when we come home, we become subjected to so many material conditions. Maybe that when we come back, being victorious over all the world, all subordinate kings, they come and offer their respect before us. But as soon as I enter into the inner section of my palace, the same myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens. For sense gratification, sometimes I have to fall down on the feet of the woman. The material way of life is so complicated that before enjoyment of material life, one has to work so hard that scarcely there is opportunity of enjoying peaceful condition of material facilities. One has to undergo severe austerities and penances for being elevated to the heavenly condition of life. This way, when one gets the opportunity of taking birth in very rich family or royal family, then even in that condition also, he is always anxious to maintain the status quo and prepares for the next life the performance of various kinds of sacrifices and distribution of charity. So even in the royal condition of life, one is not only full of anxieties on account of monarchical administration, but also anxiety of being elevated to heavenly planets. It is very difficult, therefore, to get out of the material entanglement. But somehow or other, if sometimes one is favored by your mercy only, one is given opportunity to associate with pure devotee. That is the beginning point of liberation from the entangle of material conditioned life. My dear Lord, simply by the association of pure devotees only, one is able to approach your Lordship, who is the supreme controller of both material and spiritual existence. You are the supreme goal of all pure devotees. Therefore, by association with pure devotees, one can develop his dormant love for you. Awakening of Krishna consciousness by the association of pure devotees is the cause of liberation from this material entanglement. My dear Lord, you are so much merciful upon me that in spite of my being reluctant to associate with your pure devotees, you have shown your extreme mercy upon me as a result of my slight contact with a pure devotee like Gargamuni. By your causeless mercy only, I have lost all my material opulences, my kingdom, my family. I do not think I could get rid of all these circumstances without your causeless mercy. Kings and empires accept the life of an ascetic to forget the royal condition of life, but by your special causeless mercy, I have already been bereft of the royal condition. I hadn't the necessity of becoming a mendicant for practicing renunciation. While kings other than me exert themselves to get out of the attachment of kingdom, family, by accepting all hardships of renunciation. My dear Lord, I therefore pray that I may simply be engaged in rendering a transcendental loving service unto a lotus feet, which is the ambition of all pure devotees, freed from all kinds of material contamination. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can offer me anything I want, including liberation. But who is such a foolish person that after pleasing you, one should ask from you something which may be the cause of entanglement in this material world? I do not think any sane man will ask from you any such benediction. I therefore surrender unto you, because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the super soul living in everyone's heart, and you are the impersonal Brahma effulgence. Not only that, you are also this material world, because this material world is only a manifestation of your external energy. Therefore, from any platform or any angle of vision, you are the supreme shelter for everyone. Everyone, either in the material plane or in the spiritual plane, must take shelter under your lotus feet. I may therefore submit unto you, my Lord, that in many, many births I have been suffering from the threefold miseries of this material existence. I am tired of this material existence. I have simply been impelled by my senses, and I was never satisfied. I therefore take shelter unto your lotus feet, which is the source of all peaceful condition of life, and which can eradicate all kinds of lamentation due to material contamination. My dear Lord, you are the super soul of everyone. You can understand everything. Now I am free from all contamination of material desire. I do not wish to enjoy this material world. Neither I wish to take the advantage of merging into your spiritual effulgence, nor do I wish to meditate upon your localized aspect of Paramatma. But I know, simply by taking shelter unto you, I shall be completely peaceful and undisturbed. Experts, on hearing this statement of King Mochakunda, Lord Krishna replied, "My dear King, I am very much pleased with your statement. Although you had been the king of all these lands on this planet, but I am surprised that your mind is now freed from all material contamination. You are now just fit for executing devotional service. I am very much pleased to see that although I offered you the opportunity of asking from me any kind of benediction, you did not take advantage of it for any material benefit. I can understand that your mind is now fixed up in me and it is not disturbed by any material quality. Next one, the material qualities are three, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. When one is placed in the material mixed up qualities of passion and ignorance, he is impelled by various kinds of greediness, lusty desires, and struggles in this material world for some material comforts. When he is situated in the material quality of goodness, he tries to purify himself by different kinds of penances and austerities. In the platform of a real Brahmin, and aspires to merge into the existence of the Lord. But when one desires simply to render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, that is transcendental to all these three qualities. The pure Krishna conscious person is therefore always free from all material qualities. My dear King, I offer you to give you any kind of benediction just to taste you how much you have advanced in devotional service. Now I can see that you are on the platform of pure devotees because your mind is not disturbed by any kind of greedy and lusty desires of this material world. Even the yogis who are trying to elevate themselves by controlling the senses and meditating upon me, by practicing the breathing exercise of pranayama, cannot so nicely free themselves from material desire, because it has been seen in several cases that as soon as there are allurement, such yogis also again come to the material platform. The visit example of this statement is Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni was a great yogi, and he practiced pranayama, breathing exercise. But still, when Menaka, the society woman of the heavenly planet, faced him, he lost all control and begot in her a daughter like Shakuntala. But a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur was never disturbed by all sorts of allurement offered by the prostitute. My dear King, I therefore give you this special benediction that you always think of me within yourself, and you can move within this material world freely without being contaminated by the quality. This statement of the Lord confirms that a person in full Krishna consciousness engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord under the direction of the spiritual master is never subjected to the contamination of material qualities. And as King, because you are a Kshatriya, therefore you have committed so many slaughtering of the animals, both in hunting as well as political engagements. Therefore, to become purified, you engage yourself in bhakti yoga practice, your mind being always absorbed in me. Very soon, you shall be freed from all such sinful reactions. In this statement, it appears that although the Kshatriyas are allowed to kill animals in the hunting process, they are not freed from the contamination of such sinful reaction. Therefore, at the end of life, everyone, it doesn't matter whether one is Kshatriya, Vaishya or Brahmin, one is recommended to take sannyas and thus completely engage oneself in the service of the Lord to become free from all sinful reactions in the past life. The Lord then assured King Mukshakunda that in your next life you shall take your birth as a first-class Vaishnava or the best of the Brahmins, and in that life your only business will be to engage yourself in my transcendental service. A Vaishnava who is a first-class Brahmin, because one who has not acquired the qualification of a bona fide Brahmin cannot come to the platform of Vaishnava. And when one comes to the platform of Vaishnava, he is simply engaged in the welfare activities for all living entities. Welfare activities for all living entities is to preach Krishna consciousness. Distinct herein that those who are specifically favored by the Lord can become absolutely Krishna conscious and be engaged in the preaching work of the philosophy. Next prayer. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta part of the 51 chapter, Krishna in the matter of deliverance of Mukshakunda.